And now, if Putin was to listen to this interview, this podcast, what message would you want to tell him?
That's a very good question because right now a lot of thoughts are running through my head. Many of them very diplomatic, of course. But I'm just not sure what kind of answer I would get to those. I would ask him, what is it you want? Because I'm not sure we can give you that. And if what you want is really for, to dismantle NATO and to dismantle the security framework we've built and to get back what you think is Russia's because it's been part of the Soviet Union, then that's not going to happen. Those countries in the Baltics and other places in Eastern Europe, they've chosen for themselves. And we're going to support them. We're not going to try and escalate the situation, but we're not going to back down either. So work with us and let be what is the past and build a new future with us. I know this sounds hopelessly optimistic, but basically, I think that's what NATO has been trying to do throughout the 90s and throughout the zeros, and we just didn't get on the right foot with Russia on this, and Russia just chose another path, and that's what we're struggling with right now.
Yes, I agree with you. It's an ongoing struggle. I think the best thing that could happen is to have Putin agree to work with NATO and to work with various countries, as opposed to using force and as opposed to making certain threats and as opposed to lacking and failing to have any communication. I think that the best thing that could take place is for him to work with various countries closely as opposed to sneaking around and as opposed to doing things unethically and negligently failing to work with various countries internationally. I think he owes it to Russia and he owes it to people and to various countries on an international platform to work with diplomats, to work with various delegates, and to work with various representatives to do what's best for various countries. And I think I'd like to be optimistic and I'd hope that Putin would come up with a plan. But again, as you said, we'll see what happens. For all of you tuning in, listening to this podcast today, I want you to know that there will be more to come. So with that being said, Ulrich, obviously you have a lot of experience and you have a lot of knowledge as a result of your academic background. You successfully completed a Bachelor of Science and a Master of Science degree in political science at the University of Copenhagen. In addition, you were also a visiting student in international relations and affairs at Boston University. With your knowledge and your expertise, what is the best advice that you can provide to the students and the young professionals who are perhaps interested in pursuing a similar career path, an academic path as you have?
Well, thank you for that question, and thank you for the very, very nice introduction on this. I think when you're young, you want to try a lot of things. You want to see the world, and I think my best advice would be to be aware of the choices you make, and then make the best of it. And that sounds a little meta, but it's like you need to set up a process that makes you feel like you make the right decision and a good one. No matter what it is, whether it's a job or it's studies, and then just repeat that process. I think that's how I tried to do this, and it's also how I did not do it all the time, and that's what I had to learn. If you want to go abroad for studies, for instance, you want to study international relations, you should go and visit those several, those places that you're thinking about going to study at. You should write the professors. You should call someone, either your friend or someone at the institution. Talk to people about their experiences. Get their advice. Think outside the box. And then when you do all this, you get sort of a feeling of insecurity. You get so much information and you get, you know, so insecure about, you know, what choice to make, or if you get more information, then you might be more insecure. But you should embrace that feeling. You should master it. So if you want to do, you know, an international career in security, you should look to Georgetown in Washington, D.C. You should look to American University there. Or maybe you should look to Columbia University in New York, or to Sciences Po in Paris, or to the King's College for War Studies in London. I mean, you should look to the real and the good places and go there to visit, because, you know, even just showing that you're interested, that gets you somewhere, you know, both, you know, for yourself, but also for the institution. It gets them to know you. And then you should look around and find someone who did cool things that you want to try too, and ask them how they got there. Talk to as many people as possible with this kind of attitude, your own attitude, and you will get a good idea, I think, of what you're most interested in and how to get there. And maybe it's not going to be today, maybe it's going to be in a year, maybe further down the road, but you have to start planning then. So you find out what you want to do on a big scale, and that's hard. It takes time, and you get wise along the way. And then you start planning, and then you find out what you want to do with the rest of your time and what other things you can accomplish or work with or have fun with until then. So if you're starting your studies, you know, in August, and it's December now, so what can I do with the time I have available, and what would be fun to do, or what could get me places I want to go, you know, in the future? Or right now, I want to learn a language, for instance. Okay, I go to an African country that, you know, for instance, speaks French or something. I see Africa and I get to learn French. So I would end this with like three pieces of advice. So first of all, learn to master the feeling of insecurity, because that's going to get you places. And second, live your age. Your listeners are probably young right now, and they want to, you know, be a diplomat or whatever, but you can't be a diplomat right now. Right now you are, you know, a student, so you should get whatever you can from being that instead of trying to be somewhere else. So live your age, and then, you know, when you become a diplomat, you will have experienced so much more instead of, you know, during your studies, having had your eyes on something you couldn't have right now. And then third piece of advice is plan for experiences, not for money. Even if your experience is to make money, then plan for experiences, because it's not going to be fun having a lot of money in the future if you don't know what you want to use it on. So I think that's my piece of advice. It's a little more, you know, philosophical, but I think if you do that and you repeat that process with anything you want to do in life, then you can really achieve something and have fun while doing it.
That's very valuable advice, Ulrich. And now, in addition to that, I'd also like for you to provide all of our listeners with advice pertaining to what they should do for anyone tuning in, anyone interested in becoming involved with YADA. What are some of the next steps that our listeners should take?
Well, first of all, contact me. I'm the VP for Human Resources, yes. So I would love to have a talk about you and your career, your life expectations, and how YADA can help you achieve that. I do want people to contact me. So basically, contact me. We'll have a talk about what you can contribute to YATA and why that is important for the organization and for our mission for the transatlantic communities. And we'll put you in touch with your local chapter and like-minded people across North America and Europe. I mean, that's how things work. I mean, basically, they should contact me, and I would love to introduce them to a lot of people who can help them. If you can't contact me, you should go to the IATA International website and find out if there is a local chapter in your country. If there isn't, then you should just contact us and we'll hook you up with people who we have who are either IATA people or who are interested in the same topics in that country.
For those tuning in, what is the best way to get in contact with you?
I would say Facebook, probably.
Okay.
Just type my name into Facebook, write me a message that you want to be part of IATA and you want to hear more and you want to hook up for a Skype call or something. And I would be happy to do that and I'll let you in. And probably you can see my Facebook is, you know, getting loaded with a lot of stuff about IATA and how you can, what kind of opportunities you gain from it and some opinions. So Facebook is both personal for me, but it's also a tool, you know, to reach out to people. So find me there and I will be happy to talk to you.
Wonderful. Ulrich, again, I'd like to thank you for doing this interview. As the Secretary General of IATA, I certainly look forward to working more with you as time progresses. I know that as the Vice President of Human Resources, the projects that you have lined up over the next few months are certainly big, and I'm really looking forward to working with you more closely along with our 2017 executive board. For all of you guys tuning in, thank you so much for continuously listening to all of our podcasts. We will have, as I mentioned before, I will be doing a second interview with Ulrich down the road, so definitely tune in for that interview. In addition, I will also have our executive board members featured on this program. So far you guys have heard from John, you've heard from Ulrich today, and next the next person who will be featured, I will remain that to be a surprise. And now, with that being said, Ulrich, thank you so much. Are there any final words that you'd like to share with all of our listeners today?
Well, first of all, Magdalene, let me just say thank you for taking the time to take this in, to have this interview and to have me, give me the opportunity to talk about the things, you know, that are close to me and my heart. And thank you for that. Any final words? Yeah, I think that would go along the same line as what I just said. I want to thank the people who believed in me. Because I didn't join IATA a long time ago. I joined IATA in June, a few months back. And so I want to thank the people who believed in me in Copenhagen, in Brussels, in Toronto, and who made it possible for me to be here today and where I am today, to come to Toronto for the conference, to run for Vice President of Human Resources, and who continually support me in what I do for IATA. Because I can see now that this is how, you know, things are going to work out for me and in general for a lot of people. I think that if you have strong values and you care about them and you work diligently, even if you don't get a reward just up close, you will get somewhere and people will find you. They will see you. You have to present yourself to them sometimes, and they will judge you, and then they will give you a stamp of approval sometimes. And when they do that, there's nothing else to do than just be grateful for it and use that to run with the projects and the values that you have and improve the world and as how you see it.
Very well said, and thank you so much. You guys, tune in to our next upcoming talk, which will take place the following week. And again, I encourage you all to go on the Youth Atlantic Treaty Association's website, obtain more information. And then, as Ulrich mentioned, anytime you want to contact the association, you're more than welcome to. In addition, I encourage you all and anyone interested in contacting Ulrich directly to add him on Facebook. He'll respond to any questions, any suggestions, any ideas that you have. He's great to work with, and you guys will be pleased with our upcoming projects. So tune in next week, and we'll have another member of our executive board featured. So there will certainly be more to come. Ulrich, thanks again.
Thank you, Magdalena.